This morning, I want to talk about the Savior's birth. And it's really said in one verse of Scripture, and that's Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. You want to look at that with me? Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, the first 17 verses of Matthew describe the human lineage of Jesus Christ. But one verse, Matthew 1, verse 18, tells us his divine inheritance or lineage. It's important that we know that there's both. Now, I'm talking about something that I know you have heard all your probably waking lives if you come to that point, once you got to know anything about church or about Christ. But it would probably surprise us all to think about in this world we live, even among the religious world, how many people do not embrace the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Even among the church, in general, I'm talking about religion. It just proves that you can't go by what majority think, even in religious. Now, the liberal theologians of the day do not embrace the virgin birth of Christ. But what I want to say to you today, and what is so profound as we embrace this most precious Christmas season, is that everything stands or falls with the virgin birth of Christ. Most people that do not believe in the virgin birth of Christ probably have a hard time believing in the resurrection and the death of Christ on the cross and what it means. So it's very, very important that we embrace the virgin birth of Christ. And so I want to say that today. And it's not that you don't believe that. I believe everybody here does. But I got to tell you this. You may, in some time in your life, you're going to have to defend this. Because we're living in a world that is more and more brazen about anti-Christ, and really the very culprit anti-Semitism, of the Christian under persecution, is the claim that Jesus is God. Well, that's why he was crucified. You know that too. But it's important that we embrace that. Now, I'm not going to try to say I can make you all understand it, but I want us to just praise God, because there's no way you cannot praise God when you think about the miraculous birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here we see Mary and Joseph, and we see the characters that God put together, but it's all in God's plan, see? And it should comfort us as I bring this. I want God to comfort us as I try to say these things about the Savior's birth. And the first thing I want to say is, again, that it's the central. My first point is the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is central to the Christian faith. That he was, in fact, born of a virgin. And that he was fathered by Almighty God. See, a virgin means that she had not known a man. And Mary claimed that she knew she was a virgin. And yet she was with child. And so we still here, we have a dilemma. We have Mary and Joseph. Joseph is befuddled too, because he says, how can I marry this woman? Obviously, she's known enough, she's going to have a baby, and yet Joseph loved her so much, he says, I'm not going to let her deal with the shame. I'm not going to put her through the point of even being stoned to death, which was what was done at that time in cases like this. No, he decided he was going to divorce her secretly, but God didn't let him do it because this angel intervened. What I want us to understand is this, the angelic interventions of Joseph and Mary that instructed them as messengers from God, what God was about to do was not humanly to be figured out or understood. They just need to go ahead and do it. And one of the greatest things I remember so far about Joseph and Mary too is they both obeyed. We find here Joseph got it from the dream, he obeyed God. And so did Mary. So be it according to the handmaid of the Lord. See, you don't have to understand everything God's doing in your life to trust him and believe him. And so the virgin birth of Christ, again, is central. It is paramount that we understand this. In fact, I want us to think about birth in general is of God. See, water and life, man can't make that. God is the only one that makes life. Now, scientists can put together life from rabbits and the bees do it, the drones, you know. But when it comes to human life, that's not done. It can't be done. Virgin birth is impossible humanly. But with God, nothing is impossible. But to know that you are a creative creature of God, that God has created you. I want you to remember with me today that as we think about the birth of Christ, that Psalms 139, David says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Do we realize, and I want us to think about as we think about birth of Christ, birth in general. I mean, it is a true miracle of God. I mean, I go out to the field sometime and I just have a few, but a little calf being born, I see a little calf laying there by its mom. I say, man, that's a miracle. I mean, a little bird in a nest. I mean, miracle of birth. Birth is a miracle. And it's so important that we see what God is doing and how he sends the central part of our life and what we depend on in our life for our salvation comes in a little baby. I mean, eternal life comes through the birth canal. And God has instructed that to be and brought that about. But I want you to think about your own life because it's important that we understand that. I tell you, I was studying this weekend, and I don't know much about embryology, but I'm going to tell you what. David was at awe. Ecclesiastes, Solomon even said in Ecclesiastes 11, I think verse 5, he says the spirit and how the bones are formed in the womb can't be known. I mean, it's all of God. And so we see this great miracle of birth, and yet we find that sciences tell us that there's millions of cells in our body, and they're made up of billions of atoms and molecules. I was reading somewhere where there's like 30 billion or a billion cells per square inch in human flesh. And so what a blessing. And just think about that. And they all die every day. And then they all reproduce. And they all have a particular purpose. And what a blessing. What a joy that is. To think about the miracle of God in that way. So here's the thing, what I want us to say. See, God make you are created. That's what birth is about. You know, it's not an accident. You're not an act. You're here, okay? And what a blessing. Caitlin, I know you just come in. Would you please stand up with that beautiful little girl? I haven't had up to this. Charlotte, she came to church, I know, a few weeks ago. Isn't that a precious girl? And that's a miracle. I want you to see that. And I want you to do something else with me. I want you all to stand up. Would you all stand up that can't stand up? And I want you to say something with me. God created me. You ready? God created me. Please sit down. Now, you say, what in the world that little preacher want to say that for? But I'm going to tell you what. You go home and think about it. Because that means God has a purpose in your life. You were created by God. You didn't make yourself. You came through birth. You didn't have anything to do with being born, did you? No, you didn't. You didn't have anything to do with it. God brought you to this life. And God has a purpose in you. And you know what? To know that we're all created. I'll tell you what this made me feel like this week. I want to love people more. I'll tell you what, I'm kind of bad. Sometimes I have this presumption, what people think and all that, you know, and whatever. But when you think about it, everybody's made of God. Even those people that's hard to love, you want to love them. Why? Because God made them. God has a purpose of them. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that every life is from God. and men, we ought to make it a tune ourselves. You know why I wish I could remember people's names more. God told me one time about this. I just can't remember people's names. He said, you know why? He says, you don't love them enough. You start thinking about people enough, you'll remember their name. And that's probably true. And we can all work on that. I know I sure can. But to know that now there has been many, many bursts in the scriptures that are miraculous. If there has been Abraham said the birth of Isaac, Samuel, you remember Hannah, Samuel, Samson, Manoah and his wife, she was barren. We could go on. Elizabeth, Zechariah, John the Baptist, but none like unto the birth of Jesus. What a unique, see, all those had human fathers. But Christ comes in the womb of Mary, and God is his father. Do you know what that means? That means that he does not sin. You know why I sin? Because my daddy was a sinner. And you know what? Yours was too. But you know why Christ was sinless? Because his father was divine. And so that is central that we understand that. Now I know it's that way, Christ's birth, but no, you got to pound this in. You got to make sure you know that is profoundly said that Christ is born of a virgin, that Christ is God and Christ is man. Now we had to be both. He had to take human flesh so he could dwell among us. He had to have human flesh so he could get up on the cross and die. He had to shed his blood. Human blood, but divine. Why? Because that's the only way we can be forgiven. The shed blood of Christ. So it's central that we understand this. Don't let your doubts and fears or science or some liberal theologian talk you out of it, man. You stay with this. Christ is born of a virgin. Secondly, I want to say this. When you think about this birth, the Savior's birth, it is really, you know what that baby is in Mary's womb? It's a pledge of a promise from God. That's what it is. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, not just the birth of a Savior, but the virgin birth, was prophesied 700 years before it ever happened. That tells you something about God. It tells you something about His sovereignty. It tells you something about His love and mercy. It tells you something about His plan of salvation. Look at Isaiah chapter 7. Here's a prophecy that is, in much of the New Testament, as you know, is an explanation of the prophecy that was fulfilled, of New Testament, prophecy of the Old Testament fulfilled, okay? Not all of it, still with the vagueness. One day we'll see it clearly, but not now. But we do get a better glimpse of it. Well, in Isaiah 7, what I want to tell you about is the covenant here that mingles or is tied to the virgin birth of Christ. So here's Israel now. It's amazing how Israel, God's people, are easily swept away. Want to serve other God. Here's a man called Ahaz, okay? So they're having a hard time in Israel because they look to other gods. Maybe sometimes you and I are having a hard time. You know why? Because we're looking to something else besides God in our life. That won't ever work. So what's happened here, they're looking in Ahaz in verse 10 of Isaiah 7, more of the Lord spake again to Ahaz. Ahaz saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God, ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? See, I'm not going to ask God. So here's what God does. Do you think God is giving us his son just because we ask him or not ask him? No, no. Here's what God says. Look at verse 4. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. All right, that is a situation where Israel is in a dilemma, and Ahaz, a wicked king, decides that he's going to ask God for anything, but God says, I'm going to give it to you anyway. That doesn't mean they're not going to have some hard times, but it means that God says, I'm going to preserve a people, I guarantee you. And Jesus Christ came to guarantee God's people because he came to save those that God had chosen before the world began, namely you. You were in that covenant of God's grace. And God brought it fruition by the birth of a virgin, through the Virgin Mary, by the Holy Ghost. She was impregnated and brought forth her son. His name was Jesus. And he shall save his people from their sins. Okay? It's important. But in this Ahaz, go on in verse 15. Butter and honey shall he eat, and he that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For behold, the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good. The land that thou partest shall be forsaken of both her kings. And that's what happened. See, Isaiah and his wife had a son that was 3 years old. And he said, before he 3 years old, this will happen. All this prophecy comes forth. And it's all about a prophecy of a sign given that a virgin would conceive. And so hundreds of years later, this is brought to pass. But it's about a covenant that God pledged this miracle would happen. And it happened. And, you know, I thought about this in a covenant sense. You know, Joseph and Mary, and I'm going to take you back, and I know you know the Christmas story, and it's so precious. We need to really read and think about it this special season. We don't know enough. But, you know, Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem. And why did they go to Bethlehem? Here's this young virgin with child. Joseph and Mary, you know, they're espoused. Okay. They don't have the literal marriage yet, but in the Jewish tradition, it was as good as being married. They had not known each other. They had not had any sexual relationships. By the way, God is real big on sexual abstinence. I got to say that to you in the pulpit. I know it's not very popular, but it's true. God's real big on that. And that is fidelity within marriage and absolutely nothing outside of marriage. Now, I don't care what your friends say. I don't care what people say. But God says that, and God means that. And if you don't go by that, you will pay a price for it. I didn't say you wouldn't be saved. I said you're going to pay a price for it. God's real big on that. He has a reason for it, mainly because he loves you. That's why. But anyway, here's Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem. Here's a place about 90 miles away. About like they're in Nazareth, so they got to go there about like walking from here to Dublin. So here's this woman, this teenage girl, going to have a baby any day. And so Caesar, you know, Augustus, comes up with this idea that everybody's got to be taxed. They got to go this place of their origin, which is Bethlehem. And so they head out. Now, I was reading, I found this out. I don't know, I'm not exact authority, but understand that the man could have went himself. Joseph could have went. But they loved each other so much that they both went. Isn't that amazing? But we know really they went because God would have his son born in Bethlehem. But they had a covenant. They had made a pledge. Joseph had been told, fear not, that angel, to take her to be your wife. It's okay. You love her. You protect her, take care of her. That's what Joseph did. That's what we all men are to do to our wives, if you have one, no matter what. All right, thirdly, I want us to see not only that it's central, the virgin birth, not only that it's not only central, that it's a foundational of the Christian faith. I mean, I'm going to put it right up there with creation, with the cross of Christ, the death and resurrection of Christ. They stand or fall together. You got to have them together. You can't fool around with that. Okay, because it's God. Only God could pay our sin debt. See, he's a preacher. You can say you want. I can try to be as good as man as I can, and I'm a sinful man, and I want to get better. But I'm going to tell you what: it's all in Christ. But I can't do it. Christ can do it. He's our Savior, and what a Savior he is. I want to tell you, my friends, he is God. And if you believe that, don't believe that, you get on your knees simply and say, God, you revealed to me the truth of everything you are. Because you're my Savior. I want you as my Savior. All right, then the covenant, we see that covenant God is dedicated to. But thirdly, I want us to see the control. If anything teaches us that God is in control, it's the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, how needful is that in the world today? Well, we got lunatics walking around shooting people. I mean, we got a world that is calling good evil and evil good, and we live in lots of chaos. We have problems in our own selves, within our families, broken homes, broken marriages, people that just can't get it together with addictions and mental incapacities. And yet what we need to sell it all is our Savior, see? That's what Jesus is about. He's about peace on earth. He's about good tidings. He's about the gospel. But he's in control. Turn with me to Micah. Micah 5 verse 2, another prophecy of Christ right here. In verse 2 of the 5th chapter of Micah, referred to also in the Christmas story from the New Testament. And it says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, Micah 5:2, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So why did they go to Bethlehem? Well, that's where the prophecy, that's where he's going to be born. Don't you see that? Now this guy Augustus, he thought it was just a whim. He said, I just want everybody to be taxed. But you know, God was under that, wasn't he? See, God's on the other end of it. I said the other day, whatever in your life, you know that God's on the other end of it. It doesn't matter how bad it might look at this time. You know this, that God's on the other side of that. And so they go to Bethlehem. And Bethlehem, it means house of bread, but it also means house of war. And that's what Jesus is about. I mean, he brought peace on earth, but he also brought a sword, okay? And I'm going to tell you what, the Christian church in the world today, we need to be ready and willing. God doesn't give us armor just to hang on a shelf. I mean, he's implying that there's a battle that we got to fight. There's a spiritual battle that we fight every day. But I want you to remember that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. And just like that house of bread, that is the manna we need every day. We need Jesus for breakfast every morning. He is the bread of life. But there's some battles that we've got to fight. But through him we have the victory. We're more than conquerors to him that loved us. But I want to think about something else about Bethlehem that shows God's in control. That relates to the birth of Christ. You know, that's the place Rachel died and was buried when she was giving birth to Benjamin. Okay, Bethlehem. That's the place that Naomi, you remember Naomi, the Old Testament? She's from Bethlehem. Now, she left with her husband, went out, you know, and you know what happened? Her husband died and her son-in-law died. But there was a woman that got connected with her through the marriage of one of her sons. Her name was Ruth. You see, God's working in all this. See, God's working in your marriage, too. In your relationships with people. You just think that nothing's a chance by God. I'm going to tell you what the birth of Jesus Christ proves, if nothing else, that God is absolutely in control and predestinated everything in our lives. Everything. Big and small. He knows a sparrow that falls and a star that falls. He controls it all. But Ruth met Boaz there, you know the story. And Boaz was that the grandfather of Jesse, or father of Jesse, and who was the father of David. Right on. It's amazing. David was from Bethlehem. He kept his father's sheep there in Bethlehem. But God is in control. Is he controlling your life right now? I want to ask you this. Who is ruling your life? I mean, the Bible says that the birth of Christ, he is born a ruler in Israel. Isn't that what it says? Yeah, that's what it says. So who is ruling you? Are you more swayed by what people think, or what your feelings are telling you, or those kind of things, or is God? See, he's a ruler. He's nobody else has ever been born king of the Jews. Jesus was actually born king. Most of them, you know, born princes and get to kings, maybe not Christ. Now keep in mind, he's talking about spiritual Israel. He's born ruler right then. God says in Galatians 4, in the fullness of time, God set forth his son, born of a woman. You go all back to Genesis, the prophecy after the sin of Adam and Eve, the seed of a woman. That's unheard of. It's always the man that fertilizes the egg, not with God, not in the case of the birth of Christ. One other thing that I want to say before you go, is I want you to see with me. Notice, if you're still with me, in this book of Micah. Micah and Isaiah were contemporaries, by the way. And so they have a lot of their writings or the prophecy of the coming Messiah. And so what we just read in that one verse is the fruition of all that. In Luke 2, we see that. But he says, "But now, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah." See, God is into little things. You don't have to be a big dog for God. You hear me? You don't. God likes little things. And he makes big things out. Most of the time, it's the little things in our life that are our biggest problems. We don't like to admit it. Little things. "Yet out of these shall he come forth." Now, that word Ephrathah means fruitful. Makes me think of John 15. Jesus says, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. Without me, you shall not bear any fruit." You see, the virgin birth, it's not only for our saving of our sin, but Christ has to keep us saved. All the fruits of the Spirit are because of Christ being born of the Virgin Mary. That he is God and that he is man. By the way, this is just a side note, but I want you to understand with me. Brother Arthur and I had some good conversation when he did his book on God's plan of salvation. Jesus Christ has a body, a human body. Do you know he has that body right now? That body will never be separated. Right now, he ever liveth to make intercession for you and me in heaven. And one day we'll see that, and he still has the scars on his body. It's a body. I mean, that is profound, my friends. That's the incarnation of God. And to understand that God did this for us, I wanted to say this before we go, but it says this. Why did he do it? Or where did he come from? Doesn't it say that? Yet out of thee shall he come forth. God sent this Savior. That's what my point is. He sent him. You know why? He loves you. Now, had Jesus been in the life, you think this is Jesus' first appearing? I know you don't. But it's not Christ's first appearing on earth. I mean, in Genesis 18, you're going to see he is with Abraham. When those three men come, there's one of them that Abraham stayed behind and said, Lord. You know who it was that walked with God? And I believe Adam and Eve in the garden after they sinned in the cool of the day. Jesus. Genesis 32, you know Jacob wrestled with a man? That was Jesus. Joseph. No, Joshua. In Joshua 5. Called him Lord. In Daniel 3, there's three young men that said, I'm not going to deny my faith, even though the king wants me to. I will go in the fiery furnace because I love my God so much, I'm not going to deny. And so they do it, and the king himself says, look, I put three people in there, I see four, and one looks like the Son of God. But now, see, at this time we call Christmas, God has chosen at this appointed time to send his Son through the birth of a virgin to grow up. Now, God didn't have to do that, seems like. And yet he did. Because see, he loves us so much. And he caps that with one verse in John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Do you know that's you? And do you know that would not happen without the virgin birth of Christ? And yet it happened in a most unusual place, in a manger. That's how God appointed it. May the Lord bless us to see that, how God loves us. You know, all those accounts that I tried to give you, just briefly, and we couldn't stay on that long, of Christ in earth before his virgin birth, was at times where there were great dilemmas going on. See, God doesn't, though he never leaves us, he doesn't appear to us all the time. You watch it. When you get down, when you get in yourself in abiding life, and what you watch for God. I mean, you know, when you're down to nothing, God's up to something. You can believe that. They least expected. Yet, the shepherd said, I'm going to go see this young child. They didn't say, I'm going to see if it's really so. He said, I'm going now. He's there. May the Lord bless you and me to have Jesus born in reality in our life every day, to bring him back in the reality of what he's done, the reliving of his promises. Tonight, the Lord willing, we will gather to celebrate the Lord's table. I've entitled it, The Savior's Blood. We could not have forgiveness without the shed blood of Jesus. And we could not have the shed blood of Jesus had he not been born of a virgin and had human flesh. It's the only one that would work. but it's still doing it. It's speaking louder than that of Abel. His blood still speaks for you and me. He's claiming you as his own. He's covered your sin. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Let's enjoy God and be thankful that we can have a Merry Christmas because of God's love and for God's powerful plan of salvation. Would you bow with me? Lord, we thank you for this time of grace. We thank you, Lord, for this most joyful season. We thank you, Lord, for the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We know, Lord, we can't figure it out. Science has no answer for it, but that's okay. We thank you, Lord, that what you say is enough. You said it, we believe it, and we trust you, Lord, with all our hearts. Lord, help our unbelief. There are tinges of our humanness that can creep up on us. We live in such a sophisticated world. Yet, Lord, bring us back to the Bethlehem scene in life, in the simple settings of a manger with a few animals, some shepherds, and a Joseph and Mary. Lord, in the glory of the angels that pronounce, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Thank you, Lord, for all the messages you give us, all the promises that you fulfill or yet will. But thank you, Lord, for the birth of your Son and our Savior. Oh, what a Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.